You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got local, state, national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It is, It is Wednesday. It is middle of the week. Boomer, start us off.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
All right. Hey, by the way, congratulations. You have made it halfway to the weekend. You're almost there. Just hang in. The weekend's coming. But yeah, we got a great show laid on for you today. But first of all, that would be Boomer on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm awesome.
Good.
It's Wednesday. Hump day.
It's a beautiful day out there, too.
Yes, it is.
We got a nice window overlooking a golf course here in the studio. We get to watch all the people who don't have to work play golf in the middle of the day.
That's right. Some of them are good, and some of them are just having fun.
Some of them shank the ball off the side of the window, too.
That's right.
We've had that happen a couple of times. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. 4 o'clock today. You know what the deal is. We don't just play the camel on Wednesdays. We also have the Grand Council. So at 4 o'clock, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson, two of my brethren in talk radio, they'll be on with me. Run our usual parlay back and forth with questions about conservative issues. And yeah, Grand Council, 4 o'clock. You're going to want to hear it. And then we got a triple dipper full of stuff, so go.
The triple dipper. 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So number one out the gate, it's apparently Pride Month. Has anybody noticed? Have you seen it? Has there been a rainbow flag anywhere that you've noticed? They're vomiting rainbows left and right. But right now, I'm calling number one of the triple dipper, no pride. I mean, there can't be any pride at all in some of the behavior that we're seeing. And it's heinous, and it's wrong, and it needs to stop. So yeah, we're going to talk about number one, triple dipper, no pride. Number two, the Green New Steel. You know, every once in a while, a new round of stories comes in that clearly indicates that the Green New Deal, as they like to call it, ain't nothing but a Green New Steel. And they are not only stealing our dollars, they're also stealing our quality of life. So we're going to talk about that in great detail. Y'all stay tuned. Number two on the Triple Dipper, the Green New Steel. And then number three, race baiters and charlatans. How much does the Black Lives Matter organizations still owe to the IRS? Huh. What is happening left and right around the nation when it comes to green policies that are, you know, not exactly panning out the way they said it would? And oh, by the way, is there a latest trend towards blocking additional military training? Yes. All of it. We'll talk about it. That's the Green New Steel, and then the race baiters and the charlatans, number three on the triple dipper. I'm just telling you, folks, it's a mess, but we're going to cover down on it. All right, let me jump over to my comments for the day. And I got to start off by just saying, just some of y'all out there can relate to this. Think back about Saturday mornings when you were a kid. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, Saturday mornings were like magical. You couldn't pry me out of the bed for school during the week, but come a Saturday morning, you'd find me up early sitting on the floor in front of the TV watching cartoons. I mean, I'm talking real cartoons, right? The good ones. Stuff like Johnny Quest, Scooby-Doo, The Jetsons, The Bugs Bunny Show, and of course, Schoolhouse Rock. I'd have 2 hours of cartoons in before the rest of the house was even moving. And right there, though, with the cartoon time, was a big old bowl of cereal covered in cold milk. Now that I've set that stage, stop and think about this for a minute. When you were a kid, tell me what your favorite cereal was. I mean, for the longest time, mine stayed the same. A big old bowl of honeycomb. At some point, I switched over to Cap'n Crunch with Crunch Berries. Every once in a while, I'd have to stray into something else that was good, like, you know, Lucky Charms was always a winner, Honey Smacks, Frosted Flakes, Count Chocula. Man, we ate more sugar in one bowl of Saturday morning cereal than whole villages in third world countries could eat in a week. It was awesome. And there were the ultimate marketing strategies attached to cereal, using anthropomorphic animals and cartoon characters like Tony the Tiger. They're great. Or the Trix Rabbit. Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. Lucky the Leprechaun. They're magically delicious. And the prizes in the box. I mean, how many times as a kid did you root around in a box of cereal up to your elbows in the box trying to fish out a little bitty prize? I can still remember, by the way, cutting off the back of a box of Alphabets before it was even empty, because there was an actual 45 record of the Jackson 5 singing ABC made out of cardboard, and dang if that thing didn't actually work. And I still eat cereal today. I mean, I even like it for a snack sometimes. I like to cut up a banana in it, throw in some raisins or dried cranberries. And let me ask you this. Did you have your favorite bowl, the one you like to eat out of? I did. It was an antique bowl from my grandmother's house. A buddy of mine, he used to eat his cereal in an oversized dog food bowl. And there's always that miracle moment when you realize towards the end of the bowl of cereal that you timed the milk just right for the amount of cereal. Like you got it right down to the art of achieving homeostasis between cereal and milk expiring at the same spoonful. But of course, you know, if you wind up with that extra little bit of milk, you know what to do. You pick the bowl up and you drink the last of it right there straight out of the edge of the bowl. All right. But all of that leads me to a point. You see, I've got a theory. I have a theory that the richness of this country, the success of capitalism and the free market, can be demonstrated on any given day by simply walking down the cereal aisle at the grocery store. I mean, think about it. You're pushing your basket, you round the corner onto aisle number 7, and there down the left side of the aisle for no less than 50 yards straight is a nonstop menagerie of brightly colored boxes from floor level to head high containing the ultimate in dry goods, breakfast cereal, of every single kind. This is a uniquely American phenomenon, by the way. The first breakfast cereal was allegedly invented in 1863 by a New York guy named James Caleb Jackson. He owned a healthcare sanitarium. He was trying to figure out something to serve his people. His invention was called granula, not to be confused with granola. It was basically a gram flour that was dried, and he broke it into shapes that were so hard they had to soak it in milk overnight before they could even eat it. I mean, it sounds like pieces of cinder block, but apparently it caught on. Because Kellogg and Post both found out about it and came up with their own versions. Then came Grape Nuts in the late 1800s, Puffed Rice just before World War I, Wheaties in the 20s, Cheerios came along in the 40s, Frosted Flakes in the 50s. I mean, by the 70s, the whole sugar cereal wars were in full swing. In the late 90s, cereal got virtuous and all the healthy brands began taking up part of the cereal aisle. And today, I'll be honest, if you don't know for a fact what cereal you're going to buy when you're going to spend half your time in the grocery store just perusing the overwhelming number of options, it can be a conundrum. Comedian Irma Bombeck, she once said, "Religion, politics, and family planning, just like that, cereal is not a topic to be brought up in public. It's too controversial." She may be right. And then, of course, because this is America, we exported it all of it, to every corner of the globe. Do you know how big the cold cereal industry really is? Apparently, in 2015 alone, General Mills Company sold over $1 billion worldwide just in plain Cheerios. But you haven't heard anything yet. In most recent studies, in the year 2021, breakfast cereal in the U.S. alone generated $23.8 billion in revenue. But the U.S., while holding the record for Saturday morning bowls of dry goodness in the global market, actually only accounted for roughly 37.5% of total sales. Globally, breakfast cereal in 2021 totaled $64.3 billion. And it shows no signs of letting up, with a projected market growth of 4.5%, taking it all the way to over $95 billion in global sales projected by the year 2030. That's amazing. And y'all, that is classic America. So why am I telling you all this? Well, partly because it's fascinating to me, but partly because it also walks me down memory lane with you for a bit. But the main point that I'm making today, out of all of this thing about cereal, is that we live in the most amazing country in the history of the world. I mean, think about it. One guy in the late 1800s created some dry bricks, soaked them in milk, and 150 years later, it spawned one of the largest sectors of the manufactured food industry in the world. And we did that. It is so easy to take all that we are as a nation and all that we are as a culture and forget how much even the least among us has. We're a nation with all the possibilities, with an amazing number of choices. I mean, the breakfast aisle is proof that we are not a society that believes in being confined or limited in any way. In America, regardless of your current lot in life, you have the ability to wake up in the morning and change your lot in life if you want to. It's not unheard of for one man to flip burgers for minimum wage and work hard to one day actually own the restaurant. In America, you can dig ditches until you own your own shovel, then you can get two shovels, then you can hire someone else to tote that shovel, and the next thing you know, you have your own crew digging ditches. Any country that can offer you hundreds of different versions of breakfast cereal can also offer much more, much, much more. So, now that I've enlightened you to the wonders of breakfast cereal, I hope you never look at the cereal aisle the same way again. Because, y'all, the cereal aisle is a snapshot of America's success. So, yes, I spend a lot of time talking about cereal today, but what I'm really trying to say is the breakfast cereal aisle at your favorite grocery store is just a microcosm of America. And every time you pour out some of your favorite crunchy goodness and pour milk over it, take note that in that one bowl, there is more than just a few minutes of eating. That's a bowl full of America right there. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I expect the text messages to start coming in telling me which one of those cereals is the best. But yes, there's that magic moment when you achieve the ultimate of your last spoonful was perfectly timed with the last of the milk. It's like that feeling like, my day is going to go good. I got it right. But y'all, I'm going to tell you, that cereal aisle at the grocery store, it can be overwhelming, but it's dadgum. It's a snapshot of America. It's a clear indication that capitalism and the free market works. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. So I tell you what, the text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. The same number you can call. So if you want to. And by the way, I've got a caller on the line. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville, what you doing, buddy?
Oh, just listening to the opening, and I found it magnificent. It brought back some nostalgia because when I was a little kid, my mom, even having a master's of chemistry, working at propulsion labs on the Army, I asked her one day, why, whatever cereal I choose, why does it taste better at grandma's than it does here at home? She told me quietly, it's because I'm having to cut some corners and because I'm raising three children, you, your sister, and your father. So I'm having to take powdered mix and half it with regular milk.
Wow.
And that's probably the taste difference you're saying.
No matter which
one I chose, powdered milk, don't use it on your cereal because it is a cereal killer.
Let me thank you, brother. Appreciate you, Brian. Good memories. I knew that whole segment there was going to evoke some memories. And I got to tell you, too, I'll never forget this. So at the end of Ranger School, we were allowed to write home knowing that we were about to graduate. You'd not been allowed to eat when you wanted to or have snacks at all. But after you had completed, you were still pending the graduation ceremony, but you had completed everything, you were allowed to have, you know, we called it pokey bait, but it was snacks. You could have your family send stuff. And so I'll never forget this one guy. It was brilliant. He had his mom send him Fruity Pebbles and powdered milk in the mail. And he walked around the barracks just literally eating Fruity Pebbles with powdered milk in them in a canteen cup. It was an MRE spoon. It was awesome. I mean, I was like, why didn't I think of that? But anyway, it was perfect. All right, Boomer, get your microphone, bud. So, so your favorite cereal?
Currently, it's Frosted Flakes. I love me some cereal.
So you're a Tony the Tiger guy.
I like me some Tony the Tiger. But, I mean, obviously for me, it was just bringing me all back home and thinking of all the different cereals that I love. Fruit Loops, you know, Honey Nut Cheerios, the classic.
You know, Honey Nut Cheerios is actually one of the top sellers in the world.
Really?
Yes.
Man.
I had to do a little study to build this monologue and discovered all kinds of little minutiae like that, little bit of, you know, information nuggets.
Yeah, like Apple Jacks.
Oh, I forgot Apple Jacks.
Smacks. Did you ever eat Smacks?
Honey Smacks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I ate the dog out of some Honey Smacks, man. And then yeah, every once in a while you get that little extra, like there's like a group of Honey Smacks that got stuck together. It's like it's like the bonus cluster.
I like that. The bonus cluster. And you were so excited.
I know. I was like, oh, that was a good one. I that's like a spoonful of bonus. I'm going to pick that
I'm gonna
up
wait
and eat it.
I'm going to wait. I'm going to eat that last. I'm gonna
All right. In your Frosted Flakes, too, every once in a while there's the giant flake that has the extra sugar coating on it. And you're like, that one gets eaten by itself.
Correct.
All right. All right, good enough. Man, I tell you what. And the text lines have definitely taken on a life of their own with cereal. So let me grab a few of those. Yes, it blew up. There's the explosion. Dustin from Hazel Green. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, he says. I miss the dang toy. But he says they got a shaker bottle of Cinnadust to put on other foods. That's interesting. Makes amazing cinnamon rolls or pancakes. Thank you, man. JT, Lacey Springs, plain Cheerios here, heaped in the green bowl from a box of Dash washing powder, a sprinkle of sugar, then from the previous day, milk from the cow in a gallon jug with a skim of cream on the top. Man, he ain't playing. Ooh. He's got that mapped out. That's right down to the bowl. John from Huntsville. Phil, I never liked that commercial where they said silly rabbit tricks are for kids. Why couldn't they just one time let the rabbit have some? I don't know. I don't know, John. It's a good question. It's kind of mean. He said, but also I wish they had a cereal called Frosted Anti-Woke Flakes, which has a picture of Tony the Tiger ripping up a rainbow flag with his claws. So, John bringing it back around.
There it is.
Tony from Piedmont. Sugar Smacks, medium-sized mixing bowl, and Looney Tunes. Digging it. That's a Saturday morning right there. Robert from Harvest is texting in and says, one memory of my childhood Saturday morning cheerleading is that a commercial break was so short back then, I could not run to the restroom and get back in time before the cartoons had already begun. Today, you can step outside, build a doghouse before the show comes back on. It's true. Or you can just pause live TV, which still freaks me out. How does that even happen? Dan from Rogersville. My texture has decided it's going to be slow. Here we go. Dan from Rogersville. I think you were referring to Super Sugar Crisp. Yes, there was. There was also Super Sugar Crisp, and there were Honey Smacks. There's two. Yes.
Mm.
Honeycrisp is the new version. Frankenberry, Quisp, all the others, and Scooby-Doo, says Dan from Rogersville. That's a
Scooby-Doo.
See, that's a Saturday morning right
there.
I
was a little saddened the other day going down the cereal aisle, and just to see how much it was.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, don't tell me. Let's just get it.
Are you gonna rain on our parade right now?
I was sad because I wanted so much cereal. I was like, I'm only going to get one box.
But there's so many choices. I mean, if you go down that aisle, you're like, today I won't pick what I usually pick. Now what do I do?
I know. There's things that I've never heard of.
You know what? I think we're going to talk about cereal some more when we get back because I got to tell a story about going to Sam's. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.